Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio, I'm very happy to have Bill Brady. He is the Illinois Senate Republican leader designate. I thought you guys had voted already, but from Bloomington. And Senator Brady, thank you so much for joining me here in the studio this morning.
Good to be with you.
Good to be anywhere on a Sunday morning, right? Well, obviously, we are in this new impasse. Son of budget impasse.
Son of budget, okay.
The kind of the sequel to the budget impasse, right? Now with the issue of school funding for the state. And just to kind of explain things, that when the budget was enacted, the state school aid funding for local schools, that component of the budget, was contingent upon other legislation. And I believe the language was identical in both the Senate version, Democratic version that passed, as well as the Republican version, that it had to be based on this new
evidence-based kind of
formula.
Right.
So some people have said this was a poison pill, but frankly, it was in both pieces of legislation to enact the budget, but it's just which version of that do we go with. So Senate Democrats finally released the hold on the bill that passed May 31st, sent it to the governor on July 31st. Governor used his mandatory veto on it. Most notably, and gaining most attention, was excising parts dealing with the Chicago Public Schools. Also made truly a number of other changes in this legislation. And now he is saying, support my mandatory veto or bring me a new bill. And we hear there's talks. We hear there aren't talks. We hear there's talks that have broken off. You're the Senate Republican leader. Is anybody talking, or are they just talking out loud?
Well, there are negotiations. Leader Durkin and I, as well as Speaker Madigan and President Culleton, have appointed designees to work out some remaining issues, whether they be in the mandatory veto. But we are trying to work diligently to solve this, what I'll call, manufactured crisis. Unfortunately, the Senate Democrats held under parliamentary maneuver the evidence-based funding bill, Senate Bill 1, for an extended period of time. They did send it to the governor. The governor acted expeditiously on trying to resolve this, what I'll call, manufactured crisis. This all came about based on evidence that the Senate Republican caucus provided years ago about how inequitable education funding is in the state. And that was the precursor to the evidence-based model, which we all think is a better way to provide resources based on the ability of local resources. So the model was important. The governor expeditiously acted on it. It is holding up payments to go to schools, which is a grave risk for us. I think the best thing to do would be for the Democrats to accept the governor's mandatory veto. We'll continue to work on everything that needs to be worked on to improve school funding beyond that, but that would allow payments to flow immediately to school districts, I think at a level higher than ever in history, and at a fairer level based on local resources.
Now, in looking at this legislation, and again, there's been a lot of attention placed on the issue of Chicago Public Schools and the fact that what the governor's action would do would eliminate a block grant that the schools have received historically since 1995 to cover what's known as categorical funding, over $200 million right there. And instead of having to file every time with for each student, it was kind of aimed to do it that way. And frankly, in Senate Bill 1 as passed, the block grant would go away in another year anyway.
Well, yeah, it depends on the timing of things, but what was offered here was we pay for the pensions in every school district outside of Chicago directly, and the state has that responsibility. Years ago, Chicago chose to retain its responsibility for its own pensions. They were over 100% funded, I think.
Yeah, it was 110% funded in 95.
And so over the last 10 years, they have neglected that pension, and it's been in a difficult position. Essentially, what we said is we want parity across the board, and we want Chicago school children to have the same parity as Bloomington children or Cairo children or whatever. That's what's important is the children. So what we did is we agreed that we would provide parity when it came to pension funding, but everything else had to be equal and based on, you know, low income, local property tax value and ability and all those things. That's the evidence.
Like 27 or so base factors.
Exactly. There's a lot of what some people will call levers, factors, other things that were created by the commission that the governor appointed, a bipartisan commission that came up with several things. And so there are much that's in agreement. And I think the foundation of the agreement was based on parity. Let's have, if we're going to agree that those factors should weigh into where state resources go at a percentage, then let's also agree that that then becomes parity. So the argument was, and we know Chicago's got challenges that other school districts do not have, and we certainly don't want to do anything to harm Chicago school students, but we want parity. And so the idea was that we'll do this. The other factor in all of this is, as you know, is there is what they call a hold harmless.
Right.
And one of the key factors for us is that there would be a movement from a poor per school district hold harmless. If you're going to have parity, it should be based on the number of students that those levers were based on.
And I want to hold you right there,
sure,
because I think there are a number of questions when we discuss that issue of hold harmless and how,
yeah,
the Senate Bill 1 as passed would do it versus how the governor's amendatory veto would change that.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of concern about that,
right,
throughout the state. We're speaking with Bill Brady. He's the incoming Senate Republican leader, state senator from Bloomington. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on a cloudy North Michigan Avenue. And joining me here in studio this morning is Illinois Senate Republican Leader Bill Brady from Bloomington. We're talking about son of budget impasse, the school funding issue. And one of the things before the break, so everybody agrees on the issue of hold harmless, that no school district should get less money next year than it got this year. But
eventually it should phase into parity.
But there are various components in various versions of what hold harmless means. The Democrats would argue we're talking about that block grant. Well, that ought to be part of the hold harmless. That's not what the Republican version says. But one critical thing in Senate Bill 1, as the Democrats passed it, was that the hold harmless was basically set a floor. That was a hold harmless that went in perpetuity.
Right. Regardless of
class size.
Or school district enrollment.
Right. And so the bill, as changed by the governor, would end that phase. That would be gone in 2 years, and instead it would be based on the average three-year enrollment.
Right.
But it would be, instead of per district hold harmless,
right,
it would be by student population. And there have been a lot of concerns, I think, and I'm curious your thought here, because for downstate districts, I mean, a number of them, and frankly, there are hundreds of districts that in the last couple of years that have lost enrollment.
Right.
And of course, everybody points to CPS, and of course, yes, they've lost enrollment. But, I mean, literally hundreds of districts that have lost enrollment.
I think Naperville's lost enrollment. So the point here is, if you're going to have an evidence-based model that's based on parity, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds, because the key is that we get Senate Bill 1 as amended, enacted, so money can flow. But the logic behind this is, and I don't know any school superintendent that doesn't look at out-year enrollment. We're looking at populations. Every business is looking at what's the growth of our students, and so we know,
sure,
those numbers. So you plan. It's not an immediate based on last year. It's a three-year phase, and as you say, everyone should be looking at the future, and you should plan, just like businesses plan for the market. School districts should plan for market size, and that's a fair way, I believe, in keeping parity.
But doesn't that also create the problem that some of these districts in rural areas that have been seeing enrollment declines, that they would also be, quote, losers.
And well, they may be, and then in some cases, school districts might choose on their own to merge and create economies of scale and do things that
are important. Is that part of for years, obviously,
not part of
been
this,
efforts.
But my effort, I think we do have too many governments in Illinois, okay? And there are certain places in my area. I remember when Gridley School District, which was adamantly opposed to any consolidation or merger, chose on their own, as they should, to merge with El Paso School District so the two combined could maximize the resources for the students. That's a natural evolution based on demographic movements. We know that.
And but we also know there's a great reluctance. And part of it is, you know, in some of these rural areas that the school is the last identity for these towns. Well,
absolutely. Everyone
they've lost their post
school.
Office.
That's not what this is about, though. What this is about is about enacting a bill that will provide resources to the school immediately. More, I think, at historic highs and in a historic way that creates parity. And that's what this is about. It was held hostage for nearly 30 days, longer than it should have been. Some would say 60.
I was going to say.
Some would say 60. But it's time to act. And it's the governor expeditiously acted on his mandatory veto. He gave his input. I would say that Senate Republicans, our caucus, gave its input into the negotiation process. We continue to be willing to talk. We're reasonable. We're always willing to discuss things. Our negotiators are at the table constantly trying to do anything we can to bring resolution to this. We're hopeful that the Democrats enact what's in front of them, but we're not going to walk away and just hope that they do. We're still willing to talk. There's ways that we can do better things.
And it's hard not to get into the weeds when it comes to this. I mean, I've probably more in the last 6 months learned about factors in this bill.
Right.
Then, I mean, I was joking. I go back to when Gene Hoffman was in the Illinois
right.
House, and he was the last guy I knew that knew how the school aid formula worked, right. Which also says something about, you know, how long things have been under this kind of mess that we call a school aid formula. But I want to also ask you about now the whole idea of the whole harmless going from district to pupil, that was part of the Republican version of this bill.
Well, I think it's the definition of parity. It's
I'm just saying, but that's already been out there. One of the other things that the governor changed, and this does go a little bit in the weeds, though, is the issue about, as part of the measure of what a school district would receive from the state, would be based on the assessed valuation of the property that exists within the school district. But
that's not – the hold harmless protects every district at current levels. So that's only in the new money that goes into the new funding.
So in the new money – and we're talking out years.
Right.
But now school districts would have to factor in money that they can't or assessed valuation that they can't tap for property tax purposes in the suburbs, communities that are under the property tax caps. In Chicago, a number of suburbs, places downstate, areas that are TIFT, that are tax increment financing districts, where that's money that they can't access, but yet that would be figured into the valuation that would affect how much state money they would get in the out years.
And this is the new funding. Everyone would be held harmless.
But I guess why – I mean, that would seem to be a double whammy or a penalization factor, because you're under a property tax cap, you can't access more wealth, but then you're being penalized because of that, because you will not get more state money.
Well, I think it'd be interesting to see how the numbers come out on this. I mean, we haven't seen the numbers as they're affected, and the data is going to be difficult, I think, to attain.
Well, I don't see, and we should say, the governor has said on Monday or Tuesday with his rewrite of the bill that will be scored, as it were,
by
the
State Board of Education. And I'd be surprised if it was Monday. It'd probably more into Tuesday.
But they won't score out years. They'll just score it under the first year.
Sure, because they don't know. The data is difficult to attain, and it'd be interesting to see what the State Board does. But the concept does get back to parity. But I think the numbers, and we really do need to look at the numbers here to see how it affects. But if every community is equally, as a percentage, used tax increment financing districts to create growth, If it's equal, then it should be relatively equal across the board. I think it is important to see the numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, I mean, I understand concepts, but then, I mean, but a number of superintendents, quite frankly, on social media have given some of the governor's remarks last week, were expressing concern. And I have to tell you, a number of them were downstate school superintendents.
Well, we've used tax increment financing just like Chicago has. I mean, no city probably has leveraged tax increment financing districts more than the city of Chicago.
True, and there's a great argument to be made about.
But I know, you know, there are tax increment financing districts in rural Illinois. It's a development tool that helps create wealth and growth and prosperity.
Yeah, I mean, it takes the growth in property taxes instead of going to schools or the local taxing body. It's basically used to regenerate to try to help regenerate.
And
the
in some
area.
Areas, we wouldn't have that growth without. Without those, so they've in some cases that growth has saved school districts because that growth creates families, and families create children and students.
Now, one other thing is now the whole idea of obviously we know about the governor taking out the money that was to go to the pensions in Chicago, taking it out of the school code, and
which I think was paramount in terms of parity. Over here in the pension area, we fund downstate teachers' retirement system, and that's where, if we're going to bring parity there, and I think we should, that's where Chicago teachers should go.
And his mandatory veto would move that from the school code back into the pension section.
Correct.
Now, of course,
it's a dollar-for-dollar exchange. It's not a cost to Chicago.
No, it's moving it from one set of the statutes to another set of the statutes. And, of course, there's questions there about the constitutionality of being able to do that. Okay. But that having been said, the legislation also kind of anticipated that at some point down the road, and we've heard Speaker Madigan even support kind of this concept, that the pensions, more of the pension costs be picked up by the locals.
Well, we've incorporated into this budget, one of the negotiations was a Tier 3 pension program, which shifts local cost of pensions for universities or schools to the local units of government.
But the language in the mandatory veto would affect that the calculation of school resources used to pay those pensions. I mean, that would take that out as a factor in consideration of how much state
right
revenue they.
But it shifts the burden to the local units who are responsible, frankly, for the pensions in terms of they're the ones that dictate the pensions because they dictate the salaries.
Right.
And so it's a good move there, and it creates consistency by having all teachers' pensions come from one area of the state budget versus one coming within school funding and one not.
No, understood. But with local districts picking up in anticipation of picking up an ever and ever and ever greater share of the pension liability.
I've supported that when it comes to normal cost. I want to differentiate here because it would be unfair, in my opinion, to expect local school districts to pick up the legacy or the unfunded costs from previous years. But normal cost, I think it brings more responsibility to budgeting.
Not arguing the concept. The only thing is if more of the revenues derived by a local school district and their local funds are going to be used for pension, shouldn't that factor be considered in how much state revenue they get? Because it appears that the governor's change would affect that.
But they will, as we've shifted these normal costs for existing employees to the pension funding, just like we do for everyone. So it creates parity.
Okay. Well, here we are, our trip through the weeds of school funding.
We did get quite deep. That's okay, though.
Are we going to get something done? We're not going to get anything done before the 10th.
Yeah, I don't. I hope we could get something done Wednesday or Thursday. I've asked the negotiators who are representing Senate Republicans to do everything they can to get something done so that we could come back Wednesday or Thursday. President Colton has told me if we don't, he plans to call us back on Sunday,
the 13th.
13th, and we will go from there. Sooner the better. There's a solution, that bipartisan solution that is reasonable and can be met. Unfortunately, things take time, but the sooner the better. I know my caucus is anxious to get something in place so we can move on to other issues.
And we'll all be down there for the state fair. So
I don't know. Are Democrats coming to the state fair, or are they not?
They're coming to the state fair. Just not in an organized way, as I understand it. But then that you could make your own joke.
Another half hour discussion.
Illinois Senate Republican Leader Bill Brady of Bloomington, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, and thanks to your listeners.
We'll be back with more right after this.